In every single circumstance of your life and mine, God is being His wonderful self in us and for us. That's who He is.
Satan hates for us to praise God, and he will do just about anything to keep us from doing it. The devil knows that his evil schemes are interrupted when we take time to thank the Lord for His love and His mercy. You've tuned to In Touch, the teaching ministry of Charles Stanley. Praise and thanksgiving are some of the most powerful tools we have for breaking down confusion, overcoming doubt, and eliminating fear. Yet few of us really take the time to honor and magnify the Lord as we should. Unleash the power of praise as Dr. Stanley explains the key to giving thanks in everything today on In Touch.
This is the story of God's redeeming love. If somebody should ask you, well, what's the Bible all about? That's what you can say. It is the story of God's redeeming love from Genesis to Revelation. That's what it's all about. Creation was an act of love. That's the beginning of the Word of God. And heaven is an act of love. That's the end of the Word of God. So from beginning to end and everything between Genesis and Revelation is the unfolding revelation of God. So what this book is all about, this book is all about God. God gave us His Word in order to reveal Himself, to show us who He is, what He's like, so that we would believe Him, so we would commit ourselves to Him, so we would honor Him, obey Him, worship Him, and praise Him all the days of our life. So He did not give us a command, give us a 1, 2, 3 step, and as a result, what we have to do is we have to search the Scriptures. And those of us who want to know how to live the Christian life, we search the Scriptures, and there are the answers found right here. Well, one of those commands that He gives us is what I want to talk about in this message. In fact, it's a very simple one. It's very concise, and we think, well, that's simple enough. But He doesn't tell us how to do it. And it's one of those commands that is very, very difficult for us oftentimes in our life. So I want you to turn, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So in the 18th verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The title of this message is The Key to Giving Thanks in Everything. Because just because he says give thanks in everything, this is God's will for you, that's not easy. And I think this is one of those passages of Scripture, if I don't know what the Bible teaches somewhere else, I may try to do that, but I will struggle with that. And I think all of us would have to agree that there are times when we've said, Lord, I'd like to give thanks, but God, I just don't feel like giving thanks. And secondly, Lord, I don't see anything about this that would cause me to thank you for it. And I think if we're honest, all of us have been there at times in our life when we didn't feel like giving thanks. We didn't see any reason to give thanks. We wonder, why to God, why do you allow these things to happen in life? And so instead of giving thanks, we want to just have a big dialogue with God of telling Him, why don't you do this and why did you do that? And sometimes we end up arguing with God. And of course, God, if we can put this in human terms, is sitting there saying, well, as soon as this is over with, I'm going to get around to the truth of what's going on here. So God always knows why, where, when, and what's going on in our life. You and I read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that it is the will of God for us to give thanks in everything. We read in Ephesians chapter 5 also that it is God's will that you and I give thanks in everything to give thanks. So I want you to turn back, if you will, now to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and this all familiar verse, familiar to all of us. But you have to link these together. Look at this. He says in Romans chapter 8, one that we all know by heart, and we know it in different ways, and he says, we know, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know that God causes all things. Now look, we love the all things in this verse. God causes all things to work together. Now look at this. If he's causing all things to work together, then he says we are to give thanks for all things. Here's what I want you to see. Here's the key. If I am going to be able to thank God for all things, then I must be able to see God in all things. If you don't see God in all things, you're not going to thank God in all things. You cannot. And this is where these two passages of Scripture are linked up tightly together, because he says, in everything give thanks. How am I going to give thanks in everything? Well, if God is causing all the things in my life together to work together for good, then I can thank Him for what's happening no matter what, because I understand that this God who is sovereign is involved in all these things that I may be facing in life at this particular time. So when He says that He is in everything, He is indeed in every single thing. Now, you say, well, is He in everything the same way? No, God is not the same. He is not the same in every single thing. Let's just take, for example, a lost person. God is not in every single thing in the lost person's life like He is in the believer's life. You say, well, is He in everything in the lost person's life? Yes, He is. Does he instigate sin? I'm coming to that. No, He does not. But in the life of even the unbeliever, is God involved in that person's life? They've shut Him out. They've rejected Him. They've refused Him. They don't even believe in Him. Is He involved? Yes, He is. Because He says in Romans, He says, do you not know that the goodness of God is for the purpose of leading you to repentance? That God, listen, God allows good things in the life of an unbeliever in order to get their attention. And so, is He involved in the lost person's life? Yes, He is. What is He doing? He is oftentimes sending those messages that will bring about conviction in their life. He is sending them the message of His forgiveness. He is sending them the message that they have another chance. He is sending them the message, oftentimes, that their life has no meaning, no purpose. God is working, oftentimes, toward redemption in the life of a person who is lost, and they have no earthly idea what's going on. Their conscience can become seared. They can reject every single solitary thing. Does that mean that God has turned them off? No. Is there a time that God ever withdraws Himself? Yes, I believe there is. Is there a time when God just absolutely turns them over to their wickedness and their violence? Romans chapter 1 says yes. But even when He turns them over to it, God will turn over the wicked to their wickedness to bring them to a place of absolute, utter destitution and despair, that in their most desperate moments they may cry out, oh God, if You're there, please help me. And that's the moment God's waiting for. He is involved even in the life of the lost person. And His involvement is an involvement of love. Listen, it doesn't make any difference how wicked they've been. God still loves every single person. When Jesus went to the cross, He died for the world. That means for every single person. God desires, though all want, He desires that every single person be saved. Yes, He is involved in the life of the unbeliever in any way He possibly can. Though he is rejected, though he is shunned, though he is shut out by pure unbelief, God is still going to send those messages. And that's how people get saved. For example, you have no thoughts of God. And every once in a while, not very often, somebody will say, never been to church, heard a message, got saved. God working in the unbeliever's life. But how does He work in the believer's life? Certainly not like that, because we're not shutting Him out. And so He's working in our life in a different way. But He is working in every single situation, circumstance of life. If I do not believe that He's in everything, I cannot give thanks for everything. If I do not believe that God's purpose, that He's working out His purpose in our life in every area, then I cannot be grateful. And there are some things for which it is very, very difficult to be grateful for. And yet He says, in everything give thanks. He says, this is God's will for us. How can I give thanks when everything in me doesn't even want to give thanks? Because I know that God is in everything. Now, you see, a person who just skims through the Scriptures, for example, and they come across a verse like that, and they'd say, well, man, I don't believe that. There's just some things you can't give thanks for. You know why? They don't understand who God is. They don't understand the ways of God. They don't understand the character of God. They don't understand that He's a good God. They don't understand that just because they're going through hardship and difficulty and trial, that God isn't trying to do something good in their life. And I think all of us can look back at our life at things at the time we experienced them, we thought, God, I can't handle this. You're pushing me to the limits, God. And then we look back and realize, what was God doing? He was doing exactly what we accused Him of, pushing us to the limit. Well, why would You push me to the limit, God, so you'll understand that your limitations are not nearly what you think they are? You see, I can look back in my life and think, back yonder, I thought, God, that's the limit. What does He do? He just pushes. And I think, well, this is the limit. What does He do? He pushes, God, this has got to be it. And you know what? God just listens and must smiles. And you know what He knows? He knows that 40 years down the road, we're going to still be saying, that's the limit, that's the limit, that's the limit, that's the limit. What's He doing? Working out something good in the midst of our trials and hardships and difficulties. Why? Because He's a good God. And because He's involved in every single thing. Aren't you grateful that God is involved in every single thing of your life? Good, bad, and indifferent? Amen? Because you don't want a passive God. We want a God who is actively involved. There's not a single verse in the Scripture that would even imply that God is passive or goes to sleep or rests or just cuts out on us somewhere. He is actively involved in every single facet of our life. Now, somebody says, well, now, I can believe that up to a point. And the point is that I certainly do not believe that God is involved in our sin. You don't think so? Now, listen carefully so you won't misquote me and make a mistake. I did not say that God instigates sin. I did not say that God initiates sin. I didn't say that God causes sin. I didn't say that God ever leads you into sin. Now, I would say that God would ever tempt you in any way. In fact, go back, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 45. 45th chapter of Isaiah. And I want you to look at a verse here that probably is misleading to some people because in the King James Version, it says it one way. Does anybody happen to have a King James right up on the front row here somewhere? You do? Yeah, let me read that. I just want to read it right out of here because I want to make a point here. In the 45th chapter and the 7th verse, people read this and they say, well, God creates sin. Now, let me explain something. There are some words, for example, in the King James that does not mean that they are erroneous words. It just means that when it was translated, that the words meant something different. And so when we come along in our society, hundreds of years later, those words don't mean the same thing. In the King James Version, it says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, God does not create evil in your life and mine. Another translation and a better translation says, the one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Does God create calamity? He certainly does. You watch a tornado, an earthquake, or a flood. Friend, that's real calamity. And God knows how to create calamity. You say, well, would God be in all that? If God is in absolute control of everything, then God is in everything. Why does He allow these things to happen? I don't always know why or anything about His purposes and timings in some situations and circumstances. Why would God, for example, allow an airliner with 250 passengers, 150, for example, people who are lost and 100 believers to go down and all die at the same time? There is no simple answer to those things. Well, where is God? Well, if God is passive and doesn't care, I can understand why that thing just fell apart. But if God is who He says He is, nothing happens beyond His knowledge, nothing happens beyond His power, nothing happens beyond His permissive will. Why He allows certain things to happen, I don't always know that, neither do you. Now, He knew before those 250 people got on that plane how many of them were saved and how many of them were lost. He knew before He allowed them to get on exactly what was going to happen. You say, well, why would God do such things? That's not a good God. He is a good God. God knows He is involved in every single solitary thing. What do those things do? Those things grab the attention of people to say, well, why would these things happen? And oftentimes gets people's attention thinking about their own life and their own future and their own insecurity and the fact that if they were to die, they too would be lost. There is no simple answer. The Bible says, for example, that God has reserved some things for His own knowledge. There are some things you and I will never understand why until we get to heaven. But is God in everything? Yes. If He is not in everything, then He becomes passive. And I'm going to tell you, if I thought God is passive, I would have taken my last flight. God is not passive. He is in absolute... It took you a while to catch on to that one, didn't it? He is in absolute control of every single thing. Now, this whole issue of sin. Is God involved in our sin? Yes, He is. Does He promote it? Never. Does He lead us into it? Never. Instigate it? Never. Initiate it? Never. In no way does He encourage us to sin. You say then, if He's not encouraging us and He's not the cause of it, then how can God be even in our sin? Well, what does our sin do to us? Our sin reveals to us just what we are like. And what, for example, if I were to quote you, I'm going to quote you this verse. And then I'm going to ask you, how many of you really feel this is true? And the truth is, the Bible says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. How many of you feel desperately wicked? I didn't think so. Well, the Bible says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Let me ask you this. Without Jesus, how many of us would act wicked? Put your hand up. You're not fooling anybody. Everybody. We'd all be wicked. Why? Because, listen, you look at the lost person. You know what the lost person's doing? He's just out there doing what comes what? Naturally. Because the natural man is wicked at heart. Greedy. Sensual. Lustful. And oftentimes hurtful and painful to others. This is human nature. This is the naturalness of man. And so what does God do? He is in our sin. Nothing instigates it, but he allows us to sin. We say, what purpose could God have in that? To show us how absolutely wicked we are. What we are really like. Let me ask you this. How many of you got saved without any conviction of sin? Not a one of us. Not a one of us. God brought us to conviction of sin in our life. This is what we really like. We need God. So one of the ways that he is in our sin is that he allows us to sin. In the process of doing so, his purpose is to show us how wicked we are. The second is to show us how desperately we need him. That apart from him, there is no forgiveness. What does a person do when they sense the wickedness and the sinfulness and the filth of their life, and they don't have God, they don't have Christ, but they're in this deep conviction for some reason. They feel how absolutely unworthy they are to be alive. If they don't have Christ, they are absolutely hopeless and helpless, so they check out of life. But what does he do? Even in our sin, he reveals our wickedness, and he reveals how desperate we are. He reveals how hopeless and helpless we are, but he also reveals how forgiving he is. Because what happens when you and I sin against God? We ask him to forgive us of our sins, and the great character of the goodness of God comes flowing toward us, and we are forgiven. He says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we thank him and praise him that we don't have to go to bed at night. We don't have to live 20, 30, 40 years in sin when we can ask him to forgive us and to cleanse us, and immediately we are forgiven of our sin. Is he in our sin? Yes. And what is he doing? He's expressing his forgiveness. What is he doing in our sin? He is demonstrating the awesome scope of his grace. Would not every single one of us who's got at least a few years in us have to admit we are absolutely amazed at the grace of God? That we stand in awe. Listen, that's why John Newton said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Praise God. Now I can see." All of us who've been a Christian a pretty good while will have to say, we're amazed at the grace of God, the awesome scope of the goodness and the grace, the love and kindness and forgiveness of God are absolutely immeasurable and indescribable. What does that do? Is God in our sin? Not that he instigates it, not that he promotes it, not that he's for it, but what does he do? Demonstrating his awesome grace and power and love and forgiveness toward those of us who are his children. He is in every single solitary thing. And so when we say God is in everything, if I'm going to be grateful in everything, I've got to know that God's in it. Now somebody says, well, wait a minute now. Am I to be grateful for my sin? No. I am to be grateful in the midst of my forgiveness and my cleansing. I will be grateful to God for what he is doing in my life, what he is revealing to me about myself, and expressing his gratitude. Never grateful that I sinned, but thanking God that he convicted me of it, thanking God that he forgave me of it, thanking God that he showered his grace upon me, thanking God that he didn't just wipe me out. Yes, we're to be grateful. Not that we committed sin, but in the process of it, God revealed his goodness and love and mercy toward us. He's in everything. If he's not in everything, then what I have to ask is, Lord, how am I going to deal with certain situations and circumstances in my life? You're not in everything. He's in every single thing. Now, you've not heard me say that God's for sin. You've not heard me say that he instigates it, initiates it, promotes it, or approves of it. None of that. But is he in it? Yes. Unveiling his marvelous grace and love and mercy toward us. Is he in every single circumstance of life? Yes. Is he involved in broken families? Yes. Is he involved in great difficulty with financial situations and circumstances in people's business or private life? Yes. Is he in a person's sickness? Yes. Somebody says, well, does God make us sick? I didn't say that. I said he is in it. He is in there to heal. He is in there to comfort. He is in there to do whatever a loving father sees is good and right at that moment in a person's life. Remember, he said we're to give thanks and everything. And then he says that he is causing all things to work together for good. If my God expects me to give thanks for everything, then my God must be involved in everything, and my God must have a purpose for everything, and those verses all go together. I am to give thanks because my God is working it out for my good, because my God has a purpose for every single thing He allows in my life, good, bad, indifferent, hurtful, painful, joyful, happy. He's involved in every bit of it. Now, so when somebody says, well, did he mean that we're to give thanks in everything? Yes. How can I do it? I can give thanks in everything because I understand that God is in everything that goes on in my life, has a purpose for it. And if I will respond in submission to His will and respond in submission to Him rather than blame, curse God, then He's going to take, no matter what that is, and He's going to turn it for my good, no matter what. If you're going through some difficulty and hardship and you've blamed others, you've blamed yourself, and you've looked at God and said, God, where are you? I want to remind you that He's right where He's always been, waiting to help you, waiting for you to surrender your life to Him so He can turn all of that into something very good. Maybe you're a believer and you're going through some real painful times. Start thanking Him. You say, but I don't feel like it. Start thanking Him, remembering that He's there. He's involved. He's in control. He's got a purpose for it. You say, well, I don't understand the purpose. Maybe you may not ever understand the purpose on this side of life. But God does nothing without a divine purpose motivated by matchless, immeasurable, unconditional love.
Charles Stanley made it clear that the Lord is in complete control of everything, including your situation. Romans 8:28 says that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Remember that promise and begin to praise God today. One of the greatest needs of the human heart is the need for hope. Hope that things will get better. Hope that change is on the way. The absence of hope produces an unbearable ache. Jesus came to give hope to all who believe in Him. Learn more about how Christ can alter your attitude by reading the In Touch magazine. Through articles written by Charles Stanley, you'll encounter scriptural truth that will help you see circumstances the way God sees them. In addition to the regular articles, there's also a devotional feature that will help you focus your attention on Christ every day. For your free subscription, just ask for the In Touch magazine when you write. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Visit the In Touch website for fast access to many resources designed to spur your spiritual growth. Log on and listen to a replay of the radio broadcasts on Real Audio. Buy books, videos, and audio tapes from our online bookstore. Dig into Bible studies that build your faith and strengthen your heart. Read the current In Touch magazine or explore our worldwide outreach to countries all over the globe. If you have internet access, visit our website this week. You'll find us at intouch.org. Do you find yourself putting off important things that really need to be done? If so, listen tomorrow as Charles Stanley gives us some biblical weapons to battle our tendency to procrastinate. That's Friday on In Touch. Touching lives with the Word of God. Charles Stanley's teaching is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.